And he left his children. He had two children at that time with Wessel Salisbury in Sandy Plains, which is in now in.
This is John Cargo from the town of Caro, New York. I'm the president of the Caro Historical Society, and you're listening to WGXC Acura 90.7 FM Hands-On Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the better weather. Whether you love snow or hate it, emotions are gonna run this week. Okay, today will be plain and boring, so get your chores done while you can. Starting at 36 and rising a whopping 8 degrees to 44 by 1 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to the mid-30s and welcomes in a bout of rain which will taper off and possibly turn to some snow before ending just after dawn. Traffic should not be heavily affected. Temperatures will then make it back to only 40 tomorrow. Winds will become a factor, reaching 20 miles per hour in the afternoon with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Some twigs will be found on the ground Friday morning. Travel plans this weekend may be interrupted a bit. Saturday will be extra cold with heavy snowfall, expected Saturday afternoon into Sunday. At this point, about 5 inches total is expected. Looking way up, we see a collision of our planet with a complex mating of three solar coronal hole streams is due to occur. No major geomagnetic storms predicted, but upper heavy atmospheric activity such as auroras are expected in polar regions. Solar wind speed is currently 337 kilometers per second at 5.5 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1 quiet, and there have been 4 days since the last sunspot. This has been the better weather brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Justin of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, Brightsiders, and welcome back to Brightside Wednesday with Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist. We're here with the late, great Mr. Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
Can see, oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? to judge us simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh. Picket black and picket sight. Don't punish me with brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh. Right on. Right on.
Yes, that was the late, great Marvin Gaye with What's Going On. That's the question for today, too. What's going on? Well, I have in the studio here with me today Mr. Randall Martin. He's no stranger to WGXC or our community. And do say hello to everybody
hello,
out
folks.
There.
Hello, folks. How you doing?
Try that again, sir.
I'm going to try again. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me out there?
Okay, I see your level going up, so they got you now.
All right. Amen, amen.
Amen. Well, we are delighted to have you with us today. You know, today is Martin Luther King birthday, y'all. He was born on this day in 1939, and he was assassinated at the age of 39. Mm. But his legacy lives on. His message continues. And you just can't snuff out that light, right? That light or that fire. So this is all about MLK Day here today. And I wanted to play and introduce our time together with What's Going On. It was a controversial album that Marvin Gaye pitched to Motown leader Berry Gordy back in the day. Mm-hmm. Berry Gordy did not want him to make that album. And he sort of gave an ultimatum and he pushed because there was so much going on that he felt he just needed to speak to it. And so we're so glad he did. I know Berry's glad he did, too. Right?
I know he is. One of his greatest songs.
And one of his greatest songs. There's another great song from back in the day that I want to play. And then we're going to come back and we're going to chop it up a little bit. You are listening to There's a Bright Side Somewhere. And that's what we do around here. We look for the bright side in the things that are going on. This song is another favorite that comes back to us time and time again, and it is from a group called Sounds of Blackness, and their song is Hold On, Change is Coming. Let's hold on for it, y'all. Don't let go.
Can't let nothing stop us now.
Going through
some way, somehow. We are gonna make it all through.
Bust.
Change is coming.
Yeah, so that was is Sounds of Blackness, the remix from 2009. But you know what, beloved? That original version is really on my mind. So, yeah, it's so nice. How about we do that twice, but we're going to do it with the original this time. So I know everything is going to be all right. And we're going to get to that original version. That's a gospel version. I didn't know there were so many versions. I knew about the 209 remix, but I wanted to get to that original version, which we will do.
Well, I think this is live with them with the orchestra. Sounds of Blackness, but the orchestra. I think this is them live.
Okay, then that's how that go. All right, well, we're going to get to that other original version, the first one I heard. I hope. Y'all pray for me. We're going to be positive and affirmative. We're going to find that original version for you. You've heard it here before, and we want to do it again. But that is the message of the day, I say, is on MLK's birthday. Hold on just a little while longer. What does the day mean for you, Randall?
Well, let me say, you know, I think that it thank you for the opportunity to come and speak. And I think that, you know, this for me is such an honor to come and speak and observe Dr. Martin Luther King on his birthday and salute the work that he's done 50 years later and, you know, talk about the issues that are still prevailing. And so I thank you. I always enjoy coming on the show. And for me, I think it was an historical turning point. I was very young at the time, you know, in the 60s.
You ain't trying to get me to tell my age, are you?
Well, you're just a few years old with me.
Oh, wait now, you had to go there.
but you know, it really impacted the world that I grew up in and the world that we both grew up in, you know, when... you know, this led directly into the 70s, which is a whole different tone in America. And it really affected how I felt as a person, how I felt the ability of me to achieve whatever I was looking to achieve that I can do. And I was able to pass that on to my children. And so this was Dr. Martin Luther King's effort and those of all the civil rights leaders and activists really propelled the nation into a much better place. And it's a place that we're still enjoying. But it's a dynamic that we have to fight for and continue to strive for the things that he fought for and the things that, you know, human dignity and equal rights. All the things that we purport to want to have as a country are these essential values that we have to protect. And so it is a day of optimism, a day of hope, a day of celebration, you know, but also, quite frankly, it's a day of mourning of the assassination of a great man who died for his beliefs, for the beliefs of all of us and for the sake of America. And so, you know, we as a nation owe Dr. King, you know, an immeasurable debt, you know, and his family for the sacrifices that he made for this nation and, in fact, the world to bring us to a point where civil rights, justice and racial equality is now, you know, was put on the forefront of the agenda in America. And it must remain on the agenda.
You know, I echo your sentiment, and I'm so glad, and I appreciate the WGXC and the WGXC family, the WGXC community, for the opportunities afforded to me to come on share.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially like it's on occasions like this, when I get to share, you know, my opinions, you know, not those of the station per se necessarily, but my opinions. And one of my opinions is that, like, you know, Christmas without Christ, you know, you have Christmas and you don't talk about the birth of Christ, you know, that's
right, what
just,
would he have?
What
he
do
have
you
a
have?
Hollow event.
You have a hollow day, right? A hollow event, in my opinion. And similarly, when we get to the MLK day, MLK birthday, you know, if we don't talk about MLK, you know, what is it about? You know, it can't be about a day off and some sales, you know.
I was just thinking about that, you know, on the way here, that you don't want it to degenerate like President's Day and many other days, that it just becomes an opportunity just to relax. I think it should be a prime opportunity to reflect on your relationship with your community, your relationships with the people, your loved ones, your relationship with, especially in the realm of your sort of interracial, intercultural relationships. How is that going? What are your feelings? How is that reflected, you know, in your life and in the lives of people that you influence? And so it should be about all of those things, because those are elements that are still deeply troubling America, because people are not dealing with it. People are sweeping it over the rug. We have this illusion sometimes, some, of this post-racial America, where there is no longer a quest or right for or drive for civil rights, and that's all behind us, that's all been taken care of. And that's really so far from the truth. And in fact, you know, racial discrimination and prejudice has in many ways just morphed. It hasn't gone away, but it's migrated into many different factors, and that's something we must, as a society, continue to struggle against.
You know, along those lines, one of the things that I think is important for me to remember and to pass on to the generations behind us is that he's more than just an American figure. Mm-hmm. That his impact was global, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that we've had a lot of, you know, great people in America who have done heroic things, and some who have sacrificed, you know, to help uplift the country and or their particular group. But the reason why he has a holiday, in my opinion, is that he pushed forward human rights and civil rights, not just here in America, as you know, as reflected in him getting Nobel Peace Prize, you know,
right,
his message resonated in other parts of the world. And we do see, even though he went to India and met with Gandhi, uh-huh. right, and he had a message from God, he had a vision, he had a call, he said, and Gandhi gave him a method, you know, but he took Gandhi's method and really made it international.
Civil disobedience,
you know. And so we have, even, you know, today, you know, we have farmers or students or whomever, you know, women and all other kinds of groups who take to civil disobedience as a way to have their voices heard regarding rights and justice, etc. and so forth, you know. Yeah. And so,
you know, and on a personal note, I would say that, you know, one of the reasons why I believe that he's certainly worthy and of not only a holiday, but just as an iconic figure in the life of America, is that, you know, as reported in his writing, he knew that his struggles, his journey would likely result in him being potentially assassinated. And I think while some leaders may think that that might be a possibility, you know, Dr. King wrote about it extensively and accepted that sacrifice.
And that is another amazing thing, too. He and his wife discussed that, you mm-hmm. know, and accepted that, and did not shirk back
right.
from the call, you know. And her thing was, you know, just, you know, let's make sure that there's a place for me and the kids to mm-hmm. live, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, that's just incredible to know that the road ahead of you, it does not end with a flowery bed of ease.
Right, right.
But to stay on that road anyway. And that is such an important message for us to know. I have a clip that I'd like to share, and we're gonna have a little conversation and take it to a little bit of modern day, I guess. I'm trying to cue it up to where I want it to
be. While you're queuing it up, I just want to commend you, Reverend Kim, on the fact that not only are we observing his birthday, his actual birthday, but that we together are involved in. You are the one the primary organizers of his, of an observance ceremony this Sunday.
Yes,
at Shiloh at 6 p.m. And I think for those out there,
shameless plug.
For those out there that are interested in civil rights, interested in the racial equality and the things that we all value and treasure in America, certainly come out. You know, make that part of your holiday observance. Come out, participate. It's going to be a great activity for you to be involved in. And again, it's 6 p.m. at Shiloh.
It's 6 p.m. at Shiloh, and it is a quarter century that it is being held at Shiloh. The Hudson Interfaith Council is a group that has been in existence longer than that. Mm-hmm. And but this annual event, which is community-wide, it's such a wonderful gathering of people from all walks.
Yes, and some special guests.
Yeah, we have special guests. We're going to come back and talk about the special guests. All right. And my cue is keep. I forgot to hit the pause. So I got to go back to where it begins, maybe. We'll see. Okay. Well, you know what? We're just going to let it do what it do. Wherever it pick up at, that's where we're going to go. But I wanted this to help inform or guide our conversation. Yeah, see, it gets to a point that I want it to be. And then. All right, let's try from here. And then it starts to skipping somewhere else. Why are you doing that to me today? Here we go. Let's see if we can get this going.
Oh, I see it going.
One of the young freedom fighters, Reverend Michael Wortham, with the Social Justice Ministry of King's Home Church, Ebenezer Baptist Church.
I would even posit that our generation is just a continuation of what others have been doing before us. And so what we're doing is not new. It's just an opportunity for us to fight for our freedom, because we still live in a country where freedom and justice doesn't happen for all. And so even when you hear the cries of Black Lives Matter, yes, we're being very particular about, yeah, we're talking about black people, very clear about that. But saying Black Lives Matter doesn't ignore the other injustices that are happening in the world. It's just saying that we're going to focus our particular energy on making sure that we fight for the lives of black people, for black women, for black men, for black boys, for black girls, for all the different manifestations of black that we can name. But all in all, it's just a continuation of what's already been happening.
So this is a conversation that you and I were having that prompted me to say, come on and let's chop it up on the radio.
Well, absolutely.
The continuation.
Yes.
Of the struggle. And one of the other things that, you know, in my opinion, is important to pass along is that what Martin Luther King and those who are working in concert with him, although he was the head and he took most of the hits and it ultimately cost him his life, there were a mass of people, you know, of different races and religions, et cetera, working in concert with him. But it was a continuation of a struggle that had been going on since the first bound black people were brought to these shores.
Absolutely.
And so so when we celebrate his birthday, it's not a period, you know, in the conversation. It's a comma.
Absolutely. Civil rights, human rights, you know, racial discrimination, prejudice, as you say, a continual struggle. And every generation has to take up that mantle and make sure that it progresses and it maintains and is preserved, because it's a slippery slope in how I think quickly that can degrade when people either ignore you know, the calls for civil rights, ignore the injustices that are being done to others. It can just really be quickly taken away. And we have to preserve that. We have to fight. And, you know, no, it's not the 60s and it's not, you know, the 1800s, but it's 2020 and the problems are real and the struggle is real. And, you know, we have to continue to come together to make and preserve the progress that has been made.
And so in that note, and we'll probably come back to more of this, but on that note, I just want to segue into some things that you are working on, you are planning. You've been sharing a little bit about that. I don't know. Are you ready to talk about that coming up in February? Are you ready to talk about that?
I am. I can't give the definitive date, but one of the things that I've been working with some people across the river on this county, in Columbia County, as well as in Greene County, is a social justice initiative and summit, and in fact, an eventual founding of a foundation to really discuss social justice issues here in Columbia and Greene County that are specific to this area. And I think that it's vital, because whether it be how that manifests itself in law enforcement, how it manifests itself in housing, how it manifests itself in all the aspects of our lives, you know, Columbia and Greene County has particular issues and challenges, and that needs to be brought out, and we need to talk about that collectively in order to solve the, you know, to help solve these issues on the local level. You know, it's great that we talk about things nationally, but there's a local element that has to be really employed, and these discussions have to be made so that people really feel that, you know, or know that their voice and their concerns are being heard, they're being addressed, and that we achieve true equality here, and you know, here in this sort of twin counties of Greene and Columbia County. So it's been met with a lot of great people that I've been speaking with about social justice reform, about all these other social initiatives that are really desirous and encouraged and excited about coming together. And so we're going to hold this summit. I can't give you the details, but just stay tuned. And this will be, you know, this will be something that will be happening in the early part of this year, hopefully in February. And it's going to be exciting, and it's something that you should come out for. Because again, communities that are interested, those folks that are interested in social justice, in racial equality, in an end to prejudice, you know, and in sort of bridging the divide, because we can do that ourselves. We don't have to live in this partisan world. In our communities, we can be that difference.
In our communities, we can be that difference. I want to take a pause for the cause and let you know that you are listening to WGXC Acra, Catskill, and Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Don't you go nowhere. Stay right here. We're going to come back, and we're saying to you again, hold on. Change is coming. Everything is going to be all right. That is, I told Brother Randall, that's my lifeblood song. I got to hold on to the change. Yeah. Here we go with the original version.
Oh, yeah. Here we go, y'all. Sing a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
Yeah, it's a simple song. Yeah. La da 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 la da da. Yesterday, a man stared to me, said, how can you smile? Down. I said, in my secret, when I want to cry, I take a look around, and I see that I'm getting by, and I hold on,
hold on,
I got it, y'all. That is the original 1997 version of Hold On, Change Is Coming by Sounds of Blackness. And we're back. We're back here just chopping it up, chewing on it, and digesting the good stuff. So, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's today is his birthday. Shout out to all of the King family, all of his children that's still alive, his grands, even great-grands perhaps. Don't know all about the lineage right now, but I shout out to all of you and salute you and the legacy that you continue, So, you know, this day for me, in my opinion, like with Christmas or my birthday, you know, the person that's being celebrated, it should be celebrated in a way, in my opinion, that would let them say, oh, yeah, you know, it's fun for me, too. If I were here, that would be just how I would want it to be. Or that's just what I'd like to hear. Or that's what I'd like to see. And so, you know, in that light, I was thinking about, and we were talking about, you know, we're not talking about being kept out of restaurants or lunch counters or fitting rooms in department stores. Those aren't the struggles that we're talking about now, but the struggles that are still here that are perpetuated and also safeguarded, I guess, those same spirits are still with us in the human spirit, and they just manifest in 21st century ways, such as, he's getting on his glasses, such as, because you brought up some very good points yesterday when we were talking, and I got excited to have that conversation here. So let's go.
While Reverend Kim was giving that introduction, I was feverishly struggling to find to find and put on my glasses. You know, but one of the things that we see, and as I was alluding to before, is that the struggle is different and it is morphed, but it is real. And the you know, the levels of prejudice and of discrimination have sort of morphed into many different ways than the lunch counters and sitting on the back of the bus. But they still are things that are harmful to people's daily lives and existence. And one of the things, you know, that's been talked about, and we've spoken about this, is mass incarceration. And, you know, there's many books on it, and many people actually liken it to the new Jim Crow. And by that, I'm saying it's a new system of keeping
enslavement,
down bondage and slavery. And you know, there's a statistic that I have here that was actually shocking to me, which is that nearly one third of all African-American males are under the criminal justice supervision, despite only being 6 to 10% of the U.S. population, and that nearly 50% of the U.S. population is comprised of people of color. Now, someone would listen to that and say, oh, well, you know, well, maybe that's because those folks are committing more crimes. But, you know, it goes on to say in the studies that in almost every instance, in almost every state, in almost every jurisdiction, what you end up finding is that when you rate similar crimes, whether it be
jaywalking, having
drug,
an open bottle of alcohol beverage,
low
in
levels
public
of drug possession, all that the crime, the sentencing disparities are wide, and they're often, you know, the person of color is going to end up getting more severe sentences, greater jail time for the same sentence. And sometimes this has to do with the judges and the plea bargaining and sort of the agenda of the district attorney. Sometimes if it goes to trial, many times it goes to trial, and even though it says you should be tried by a jury of your peers, many people are tried. Many people of color end up being tried by all white jurors.
Well, because if we're just 15% of the population, then the likelihood is that you're not going to get very many of your peers on a jury pool.
Right. And cultural considerations, you know, it has to be taken into effect, especially when you're looking at sentencing. And if you look at someone, if your cultural bias is that this person or these type of people are dangerous, then your preconceived definitions of these people are going to are going to factor in to how you try to execute justice. And in this case, clearly injustice. And the studies show this, and this is not a new statistic. Some people might be aware of it, but some people may think, well, this is just represents what people are doing and how,
right.
But it's not. This is, you know, this is, if you ask anyone, this is a result of disparities that are directly linked to racist policies, some conscious, some, you know, or bias and policies, some conscious, some unconscious, but still there's a racist agenda involved.
Before you go on from there, and we may have to come back next month and have part two on this conversation because it is so deep and we've only gotten on to one. But, you know, I know that I had been seeing not too long ago in the media about police chiefs and, you know, and other leading police department heads who were being who were losing their jobs, they have been forced to resign, they were being suspended, they were being fired because they had perpetuated discriminatory practices in the way they structured their police departments and the way they instructed their police officers, you know, to frame people, to cut slack for some people and then to, you know, go after other people of color because it, you know, it disenfranchises them. It fills jails. Somebody's got to, you know, get that money in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so Johnny B, you know, he's, you know, seen in a scene situation somewhere, criminal activity nearby or whatever, and instead of being, you know, questioned about his whereabouts and questioned about, you know, or even look to see if he even fits the crime or fits the, you know, the profile, he's taken into custody and he's, you know, a suspect. And Johnny W is like, what are you doing around here? Go home, get out of here, you know.
Right. Right.
And that, yeah,
as you said, you know, there's a big investigation in New York that's happening about not only just racial profiling, but the alleged investigation that's happening. And you can go to the New York Daily News, really talks about systemic policy of saying what they described as letting loose the soft targets, which would be Asians and whites for any arrests or even, well, it's not even prosecution. Arrests, and then focusing on Black and Hispanic. And many times I think this is done because the feeling is that that population is more vulnerable and less able to, when in court, to really have that sort of attorney or legal muscle to really deal with the charges. So they have to settle for plea bargains. And, you know, it's a disgrace. And this is what we talk about when we say that the struggle continues. And, you know, I think I don't know whether you'll have a chance, maybe post some of this stuff on the website, but I'll go through a couple of things.
Well, I don't want to rush through the things. What I'd like to do is, you know, just take a little, like I say, chop it up a little bit, you know, maybe okay. We got to come back. All right.
I always like to come back and visit you.
But, you know,
talk to the community.
I think it's
issues.
Important because Reverend Dr. King, one of the things that he did was he opened up people's eyes and he gave us information and he educated a nation, you know. And so on his birthday, I think it is more than appropriate that we take a little time to share information, you know. And for some people, it is education. I was in a group the other day and I wrote a paper. I was telling you about that. And I was talking about Harriet Tubman, Marcus Garvey, and Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan. Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan is the originator of the Sullivan Principles, which had major impact in bringing down apartheid in South Africa and was even credited by the South African government and leadership for that role. And after I shared my, you know, one-page, two-sided, you know, essay or short story, which everybody encouraged me to post in the papers, which I intend to do. Hopefully they will print it. 90% of the class or the group, which I think 98% are Caucasian, they hadn't, some of them hadn't heard of Marcus Garvey or Leon Sullivan, you know. So you're like, you know, so they got an education, you know. And so we have these occasions to give education and to share information. And that's what we're doing. And we're not going to speed through it, rush through it. If it takes another time to come in, that's what we do.
Okay.
Okay.
I like it. I definitely like it. And, you know, I once again, you know, we're going into Black History Month. You know, that's a perfect time to sort of do this research. Whether you're Black or white or Hispanic or from any culture, it's important to know the cultural context in which you live and to understand what the history was and what's presently happening. And if you can kind of grasp that, then you can then start to, I think that just that education will help you to ask the logical questions. Well, why is this happening? And I don't want this to happen. I don't want my kids to grow up in this, because when we disenfranchise people, that to me is a detriment to the entire nation. You lose the potential doctors and lawyers and thought leaders that can make the positive changes that you want to see in your communities. And you don't know a lot of times where those changes will come from.
Where they're going to show up, right? That's right. Who's going to bring that new technology, that new innovation, that new solution, if we just, you know, count everybody else out that don't look like us? There is a song that I'd like to play. And we're going to press on. Come back. Down.
I get so lost, I think I'll never be found. And there are moments of fear and doubt. Even the best fall to the ground.
Jaded eyes. I get frustrated when there is no why. I put my focus on worthless things. Even the strong fall to their knees. God only knows what we your love will prove all I need, I will find in you.
Life goes on, but your love will prove all I need, I will find in you. I press on.
I press on. America, we got to press on, beloved. Amen. All you conscious, raised, woke folk, don't quit in the dip. We got a ways to go, but it's not all gloom and doom. We are just sharing information and education for inspiration, okay? So, Mr. Randall Martin, you got some other stuff you want to enlighten us to about the way the struggle has transformed from back of the bus. Because, you know, there's some people who think that we have arrived because we don't have to sit at the back of the bus anymore. And we can go into the store and try on clothes, et cetera, and so forth. And that we can even be CEOs now. We can even be the president of the United States. Well, let's see when that happens again. But, you know, so let's talk about that. Let me hear what you got to share.
Well, you know, I think that, and I thank you for this conversation and the ability to come back and continue more in depth with this at some point. But one of the things that was not really clearly identified is sort of the environmental racism that occurs. And what I mean by that is there are several times when the sighting of either whether it be fracking or whether it be hazardous waste or the building up over landfills, where these things are targeted for vulnerable communities, especially communities of color, who maybe don't have the legal muscle,
or low income communities.
Absolutely,
that, you know, aren't necessarily communities of color, but low income communities are targeted as well.
Yes,
and that's who Martin was for, all oppressed people and all people that were being unjustly treated. And I just got to throw that in there because I get a little bit perturbed. We have one state has, you know, reversed the clock and tried to do away with the celebration of his holiday. So we got to hold on to that too, you know, because he wasn't just for, quote unquote, if people have an issue with that, but he wasn't just for black people. He was for people and these issues, but definitely had to deal with what was happening to black people being a black man.
Right. And definitely. And I like the clip that you played earlier that really spoke to that, that, you know, this, you know, to champion the cause of people of color or people of lower income, which is not necessarily the same people. But, you know, that doesn't negate everyone else,
right?
To call out to you know, the problems that are occurring with one shouldn't be regarded as something that is ignoring the problems of others. And to get back to the environmental issue, we see this, you know, classic examples of where things are built, where developments are sited, and also in issues of water quality, like the issues with Flint, which is still an ongoing issue, is not uncommon to have what we would call vulnerable communities, low-income communities, more diverse communities, communities of color, impacted by negligence. I mean, that was just outright negligence in the way that the pipes were not fixed, and in the way that sometimes you have buildings with high concentrations of lead, and all of this has a damaging effect, not only health of the people, but on the long-term sort of academic levels of achievement, because it cognitively diminishes people, especially
it messes with brain cells and brain functioning.
Absolutely.
And emotional capability and capacity. You know, I can't handle but so much stress because my brain now is going to start to flip out.
Right.
Because it's not being built properly.
You've been poisoned. And, you know, and we get into a little bit of, you know, and the futuristic stuff was about the algorithms that we all kind of live with, where we have all these programmers that are making these algorithms that are making decisions about where we can live and what we can buy and all these other things. And often there's implicit bias right within those algorithms. And they oftentimes are made from a point of view that advantages some and clearly disadvantages others. And these are all things that, even though it might sound kind of overwhelming, these are all things that are how racism and prejudicial behavior has, and injustice has, morphed in the 21st century. And so we, as people of conscience, have to be willing to sort of always update and always be aware of these policies, and really look deep at what's happening in our communities, with our corporations, and especially even online with our kids, how, you know, the harassment, racial harassment, especially on kids, is horrible. I mean, these many kids are really getting exposed to everything from threats to nooses, you know, digital nooses around people's necks to pictures of dead bodies. I mean, this is all stuff that's documented. So if you're a parent, you really have to be aware of what your, you know, what chat rooms, what your child is doing online, because they may be exposed very likely to bullying and racially biased behavior. And so, again, 21st century racism, and we must have 21st century solutions, which we're going to look at, I guess, in a little while.
So we have the work that is not yet finished, the work that continues. And just as we celebrate Independence Day, mm-hmm. and then we fund our military so that they can go out and die, so that we can remain free. You know, the struggle continues to keep us free and keep us safe from terror threats, internal and external. Well, we have to remain woke and fight to stay free. And when there are these policies and these attitudes and these institutions or systems that are trying to take us back or to bind us up again, we have to be informed and prepared to do what we need to do to make sure that we make it a better world for us and for those who are coming behind us. And I'm preaching to the choir, but I want to give some people some fire. Yes, some fire, because struggle's not over, you know?
and as they say,
we
can't
faint in this fight.
Freedom isn't free. You got to work for it. You got to continue to work for it.
Well, we're about to wrap up and get up out of here. My goodness, how the time has flown. But I do appreciate you coming. And definitely, we're going to have to come back and do a part two, me and you. But thank you for coming. And I want to say happy birthday to everyone who is celebrating a birthday in this month of January. I want to say get well, Cousin Ivan and Sister Janie and all you out there who are overcoming colds and flus and pneumonias. Those of you who have surgeries and are recovering, you're in our thoughts and prayers. If your ears are on this conversation at this time, then know that my prayers are going out for you and that God knows where you are. Don't quit in the dip. Hang on in there. Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. But if you keep holding on and don't let go, you're on his list. He's going to come see about you. And so we're getting ready to get out of here, Mr. Randall Martin. We only got like 3 minutes.
Well, 3 minutes. But you know what? You know, we talked about a lot about problems, but I'm a person that's about solutions. And so there's some things that we can do. In addition to coming to our Sunday service or Sunday Martin Luther King observance, which starts at 6 p.m. at Shiloh Baptist. There are a list of 10.
Well, let me just say we have Darrell Gray, yes. U.S. Senator, former state senator for Kansas. He's our guest speaker.
Yes, indeed.
Congressman Delgado will be there.
Yes,
the
indeed.
The new mayor, Kamal Johnson, will be there.
Yes, indeed.
We have the Hudson High School Choir coming. We have Operation Unite, Kaumba Drum and Dance coming. The Hudson Shiloh Church choir, the liturgical dances. It's going to be a good old time as we celebrate his birthday. Back to you, my friend.
It's going to be glorious, and you need to come and be a part of it. So let's talk about a couple of things that we can do within ourselves to end the scourge of racism. One is to try to learn about other people and their cultures and go beyond just, you know, the ethnic foods and festivals. Try to really get out and meet your neighbors. There's so many. Be a proactive parent. You know, talk to your kids candidly about race. Don't laugh at stereotypical jokes. Think about your words and how your words can hurt other people. Be a role model and educate people about your own experiences. Don't make assumptions, because assumptions that are based on stereotypes are wrong and destructive. And also consider in yourself how race and racism will impact your life and those around you. Take a position against hate and stand up against racism. That's my those are my a few positive steps that each individual can make, in their own personal sphere of influence.
And so, beloved, we're getting ready to get up out of here. Thank you, Randall Martin, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing those points with us. I hope y'all will join us again.